We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mike decked out in this Philly sweatshirt. What's up, Mike Deuce?
See it. What's up, Johnny Marks?
That's a nice Mitchell and Ness looking item.
It is Mitchell and Ness.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yes, it is Mitchell and Ness.
That's that 47 brand or one of those brands. I actually have an Eagles one that's very similar to that.
Gives you sort of the antique look.
Looks good.
Right?
I like it. Look. Yeah. I couldn't find any of my Philly. So I just discovered this. I don't have a Philly's t-shirt. I have a sweatshirt that I wore down in Florida, but I don't have, so I'm in all red today.
You got all your red on, though.
But none of it's Philly stuff. I have a minor league Williamsport Crosscutters hat. I couldn't find my Phillies hat. That's red. So I have all red on the support the Phillies, but none of it's Philly stuff. Now, they're minor league affiliates, Philly, so that counts. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Ike, we're here, man.
We are.
And I think even a month ago, when you tried to... You're talking about the Phillies in 2018. You weren't necessarily talking about playoffs or even really seriously contending for playoffs. Now, with the signing of a former Cy Younger, we sit here today. ESPN's predicting 81 wins. We're sitting here today, much different than last year, because this is going to be a season this year.
Yeah, I think when the season ended last year, I think the expectation going into the spring was more around. Let's get a chance to watch these young guys continue to develop. We're going to get to see J.P. Crawford on a consistent basis. You're going to see Rhys Hoskins from the beginning of the season. We were hopeful that Scott Kingery would eventually be up at some point this year. These are things that we sort of continue to look forward to. You knew Nola was going to come back this year as your top pitcher, but a lot of question marks amongst the rest of the rotation. So you had sort of tempered expectations. I think when they brought in Irvin Santana, right? That's when I began to think, like, okay, now you add his bat to this lineup with the rest of these guys. Now you just need some pitching, right?
You need one more guy at least.
You didn't necessarily feel like this was the year to go out there and just try to grab somebody long term and spend $150 million on somebody. But you felt like, man, if we can get the right deal with the right veteran pitcher to add to what we have.
You're right.
You could have something here.
You know what? You know, it's interesting you say that, because I think a team that has the expectation of you should win, you should make the playoffs, you should be a World Series contender, would be more likely to take on a bad contract of giving a pitcher $5-6 million. Like, for instance, Yu Darvish. I'm telling you, the Cubs, that's a horrendous, horrendous contract. I'm so much happier having Arrieta than a 6-year contract with Yu Darvish. But a team that's competing is going to go out there and say, well, we need that guy. We got to get over the hump. There was pressure on the Phillies to have a better team this year, but if they didn't sign Arrieta, then, you know.
Yeah, would have looked at it like, we'll wait till next year.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly. I mean, they needed somebody. So it's good that they did, but I'm glad, like you said, that they didn't go out and in year 4, 5, and 6, when the team gets good, you're looking at that salary and being like, oh my God, you can't even trade him.
Yeah, and his best years are already behind him.
Way behind him. Yeah. And you're eating salary just to get him out of town. So I mean, and it's great. So Phillies and Braves today, we'll get you started with the lineup. We're going up till 3, and then it's the official pregame show. Leading off with Johnny Marks and Ike Rhys.
How about that? I enjoy this.
3 o'clock. So we have that. We have Phillies conversation. Get on the lines, 888-729-9494. With your expectations, with your legitimate, realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are kind of sitting where I am, which is saying, like, hey, they can do it. Now, maybe I'm a little bit more optimistic than most, Ike.
You are.
All right.
Boy, Seltzer has them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he said 88.
Yeah.
88 wins. I was up to 87. I went back down to 86. My official prediction coming up. We're going to go through all 162, by the way, before we get out of here, all right? Starting off with 3 at Atlanta, Ike. We'll do it right now. Give us the first series, 3 at Atlanta.
I'll take 2 out of 3.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. We're in lockstep there. All right. So we got 2 out of 3 right there. So 2-1 on that stretch. All right. 3 at the Mets.
two out of three.
I'm with you. They start off 4-2. We're good. We're good, Ike. All right, more on that later. Yeah, so before we get back into the Philly stuff, Joel Embiid last night.
Yeah.
76ers game.
Oh, man. Seriously. It's not what you want to see, bro. It's not what you want to see right now.
Less than 10 games left in the season?
Oh, my God.
No, it's not.
Now, I don't know. Hopefully, everything's going to be okay with Joel Embiid. Yeah. I'm assuming the Sixers are going to put a statement out at some point.
Well, so listen. He put out a tweet last night with a video that said not good.
Yeah.
And then it had, like, the video was kind of him sleeping with the vital signs monitor. So I looked at it and I said, well, he's trolling everybody. Because the headlines were, oh, things aren't good with Joel Embiid. Like, why? Because of that video? But then,
but that's
something he does on a regular basis is trolls people.
Okay.
But then you and Ben were, you know, like, no, something's wrong. And then Spike came in and was like, I think something's wrong. And then I thought about it and I'm like, yeah, well, it's 2 o'clock and we haven't heard anything. Mm-hmm. Why was he in the hospital so late if there wasn't something that was going on? I feel like there must be some kind of a bone break in his face or like the orbital bone. I don't have any information. The Sixers have not put anything out yet. I've reached out for comment. They just said nothing, no update yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll give you the update if it happens before we go off the air here.
I'm going to tell you like this. If it were nothing, they would have already calmed everybody's nerves.
Yeah, we would have known that last night.
Now, we're not panicking.
Or this morning.
No one's panicking.
You're not?
I'm alerted is what I am.
Well, I'll say this. Yeah. He's not going to play the rest of the regular season, you don't think, right?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Are we missing a playoff series now?
He said they said he passed concussion protocol last night. So I'm assuming that, okay, he may not play Friday just so they are extra cautious with him. But, I mean, if he's not back soon – then, I mean, when you think that's something to worry yourself about, well, listen, here's the thing. Once they say what the issue is, then we can determine how long he's going to be gone, if he's going to be gone long at all.
So what are they doing right now that they're not releasing it? They're getting a second opinion? Let's face it. With all due respect to the 76ers, they haven't had exactly had the best track record when it comes to injuries and how they've handled and deal with them. And by the way, they've had really bad luck, too, with some of these injuries. So I'm just being fair and honest about it. But the track record hasn't been great with giving information to the public and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, we just went over the Markelle Fultz situation 2 days ago.
And how ironic that Markelle Fultz is the one that slams into his face. Yes.
Yeah, that little dribble handoff. See, that's what happens when you don't practice a whole lot. Those two aren't used to practicing that dribble handoff.
No, they're not.
Right?
No, they're not.
Right? You wind up hitting faces together there.
Well,
let's just hope everything's okay with the big fella.
Here's what I got to say.
Good win last night against the Knickerbockers.
Good win. And that's what they should do.
I don't even know who we were led by. Who were we led by last night?
Dario! Dario played well. You know who else had a stellar game?
Who?
No.
Covington. It's for three. Yes!
He didn't have a great game. But.
Every shot that goes in, I think about you, man.
Excellent.
Every shot that goes in.
He was all right last night.
Yeah, I hit that first one. I said, oh, Lord, we're about to have one of these 30-point games tonight.
You know what happened last night?
Yeah.
Embiid's out. J.J. Redick took it upon himself. Between J.J. and Dario, they said, we're going to have to score. And J.J. took a lot of shots. Dario took a lot of shots. They have enough. Their schedule the rest of the regular season is not very good. So they're still going to win games. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to cost them the fourth seed.
It might.
Well, we'll see. I got to look at the standings. No, you're right. It might. We'll see what happens with Joel. I don't feel good about it.
Other than that being home court advantage, I don't think they're going past five.
My prediction
is. You know what I'm saying? So basically we're talking about losing home court advantage potentially.
Yeah, which wouldn't be good.
No.
It wouldn't be good.
I'm going to start that series off right here. Well, that first game will be nuts. You know who we don't talk about enough, man?
Who?
Dario, man.
Dario
We don't
has,
talk about Dario Saric enough.
He's turned, because remember last year, his three kind of a flat jumper.
We kind of felt like he still needed to adjust to the NBA three-point line.
Damn, he got good this year. He's confident.
Man. Yeah.
He does it all, man. Like, he's even better than I thought he was going to be coming over here.
I agree. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. The funny thing is he looks pretty much like he looked and a lot of those videos over there in the Euro League when he was winning the award for the best young Euro player and
player.
But only thing was, we were like, okay, that's the Euro League. How does that translate to the NBA?
Yeah, because a lot of the guys that you see, like the right. Papa Lucas guys or whatever, whoever Euro John calls in and tells me about, it never really
translates over here, but it has with Dario. He looks like he's playing over there in the Euro League right now.
Kind of a problem looking forward. Now, is he another max player?
Ben.
If you're a team that has $20 million in cap space.
Ben is the second best player on this team. He does so many different things. And I agree with that. I think he is a all-star, an annual all-star, Ben Simmons.
Agreed.
Right, and just because of his unique skill set. But Dario's the second best offensive player on his team.
And going forward, he is. Consistently. Yeah. He's going to be a consistent three.
For what 16, 17, 18 points a game.
For what the NBA is in 2018, he's exactly what you want.
Yep.
A big that can handle a ball, that can shoot the three. Pretty good with rebound. Tough rebounder.
Smart, too.
He's a good player. Good passer.
Smart.
He's a good player. He's even better than advertised.
Shout out to Sam Hinkie.
Trust the process. Here's their schedule coming up, and then we'll get back into baseball and we'll take some phone calls here. At Atlanta, which is Friday night. That
should be a W.
At Charlotte, Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Should be a W.
Home against Brooklyn.
I hate Sunday, 1 o'clock. Whoa.
It's the worst. Yeah. Well, let's just say this. Let's say they win 2 or 3. Right. Atlanta, Charlotte, home against Brooklyn.
Yeah.
At Detroit. Not an easy game.
Not an easy game, yeah.
Home against Cleveland.
Not an easy game, but I'm going to be weird. We'll be pumped. Oh, you mean if Big Fella's not there?
Big Fella's
saying
he's out for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, we're not winning that one.
Home against the Fighting Nerlens Noels. That's another Sunday 1 o'clock game.
Anthony Davis?
No, Nerlens, Dallas.
Oh, he's in Dallas. Why did I think he was with the Pelicans? Oh.
No, that's probably next year.
Yeah, Dallas. Yeah, Dallas is garbage. Yeah.
At Atlanta against Milwaukee. I see
Dennis Smith.
7, 8 games left, and they're winning
at least
minimum.
6, 7.
I would say worst case five.
Okay, yeah, worst case five.
So you go 5-3 down the stretch. That would put you not at 50, but it would put you pretty close.
48?
Yeah, I'm trying to see exactly where it is. So all right, we'll break it down. 888-729-9494.
Indiana's right there on their tail.
Yeah, the half game ahead. It could cost you. It's not going to cost you. It's not going to put you at 6.
Right.
Which, by the way, would put you up against Bron.
Bring on the Cavs. not without Joel. Hell no.
It's crazy.
Not without Joel Embiid, though.
Hopefully he's back by the playoffs. I do not feel good about this JoJo thing. Literally, I was telling you guys, I'm like, you're wrong. He's trolling you. Then I'm like, hold on. What am I thinking? They still haven't released medical information
about it. Yeah.
No, this is worst case scenario.
Oh, no.
We'll come back, 888-729-9494. We're going through the schedule, Ike. 162, man.
We got 156 left.
Let's see. So far, they're 4-2.
That's right.
If the playoffs started after the first two series, they're in the playoffs. Is your son a baseball fan? Does he like to play? Does he watch?
He's not a fan of the game, no, but he played. Hell, I think last year was the first year he stopped playing. He played from like 6 to he was 12 or 13.
So pretty much right. Well, yeah, because you can do a couple of years after the 60-foot bases, and then after that, you got to go to high school and play or whatever. I did the same thing.
Yep.
But I feel like this game is being lost with our younger generation who I grew up with baseball. I love baseball.
Yeah.
The younger people like NBA, like more action. This is a slower game. So Ben came in and goes, you know what? This used to be such a special day with a lot of people. And today, like, we're celebrating it. It's still a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as special, I think, with a lot of people because of the younger generation. So Ben wants to hear from the people that this is special to today.
Right.
That opening day is special. And I think it's a great idea. We have Bob in Lower Pottsgrove's going to. But he was asking for old people. He came and he's like, let's hear from some old people today. How old are you looking for, Ben? You talking the 80s? Is there a minimum age that we can?
I want to go as old as we can. I want somebody who was at a Phillies game in the 60s.
when Connie Mack signed my program. All right. So, hey, we open it up for Phillies fans. 888-729-9494. And here's my expectations for this year. I'll just give it to you right away, Ike.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at, and we're still going to do our win losses. I don't know where I'm going to end up with this. But I'm my official prediction is 86 wins.
Yep, I said 83.
All right. So I'm going with 86. And I look at a guy like Jake Arrieta, and I see 16 wins. I see a guy that's going to pitch to it in ERA in the threes. And he's going to lead the staff. Aaron Nola is going to have another good year. I don't know if he's approaching 20 games or something like that. Mm-hmm. This season's going to come down to how well the bullpen pitches.
I'll tell you, he's not winning 20 games.
No, just whether or not he's getting 16, 17, or he's winning 11.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's there yet. This is coming down to starters 3, 4, and 5, how effective and consistent they can be, and what the bullpen does. And if they can be above average, this team can win 86, 87 games and legitimately compete and win a wild card.
Well, the key is to me is going to be, can you get to that trade deadline in striking distance? And then what move does Matt Klentak go out and make to get you over the hump? Because you know other teams that are going to be in position just like you are, they're going to go out and make moves. Now, do we have the prospects? Do we have the trading pieces that are attractive or that will be attractive? Only time will tell. Only time will tell what pieces become attractive to other teams who are sellers at that time. We can be a buyer, right?
Absolutely.
And we can make a move or two that can sort of propel you up to that point. But they got to see the thing about this team, this squad as it's put together right now.
Right.
Has to do the dirty work to put themselves in position.
They do. You're right. No, if they all-star break, they're 10 games under 500, forget about it.
Right.
They're at 500 or better. You know what we're going to be talking about in July, Ike? We're going to be talking about Cole Hamels coming back to town.
Yes, sir.
And that's the target.
There you go.
We're going to be hyping that up as long as the Phillies are good.
I'm kind of already on that. I want that to happen. Yeah, I want that to happen.
Great.
Yeah. I want that to happen.
We'll be down at the ballpark for most of the home games, especially early in the season. We're Chickies and Pete's on Fridays, but we'll be down there broadcasting from the NovaCare broadcast booth. So we'll have great Phillies coverage
for you.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Going to be fun. All right, let's go to the phones here. We have some old people on the line, Ike.
That's not what. Yeah, it's like
who's
elderly,
the old,
right?
Who's the oldest person, Ben? Who should I go to? Who's the. Let me go to Bob in Lower Pottsgrove because Bob's my buddy from doing Leading Off last year and sometimes the post game. Bob, how are you?
Very good, John. Hello, Ike.
What's up, Bob?
I'm 74 and a half. And if you'll give me 2 minutes,
yes,
I'll give you my Philly sister. By the way, I do have concerns.
Yeah.
I told you last year, John, that my wife and I were partial season ticket holders from 1995 through 2014, 20 consecutive years, and then we were not. And I told you I went last year to get the Reese Hoskins T-shirt, but we left before the first pitch. But it was a fabulous giveaway. And on March 16th of this year, before they announced the signing of Arrieta, I called the Phillies, and we're again partial season ticket holders.
Yes! My man, Bob.
I voted with my checkbook, but the things that disturb me, bother me, concern me. Michael Franco, whether he hits a bound ball, a pop-up, or a fly ball, he still doesn't run it out. Kapler was supposed to stop that. I still don't see the guy hustling. Matt Klentak signed Santana. The $60 million for 3 years, forcing Reese Hoskins to play left field. Reese, I watched every televised game. Reese looked absolutely terrible playing left field.
Yeah, I thought he looked all right, Bob.
Well, okay. When Jake Arrieta signed, they told us he was going to pitch the first week of the season. Now he's scheduled halfway through the second week.
Yeah, because he signed late, and Bob, rather than force him into pitching before that, I think it was just solely up to him, he'd do it, because we talked to him, Mike, down there.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to force him into it. They're making the right move.
Yeah, he said physically he could go, but when you're not at your best, and I'm paraphrasing a lot of what he said, but when you're not at your best at this time, why force it? In other words, give him a little more time to continue to work out the kinks, continue to build strength up in that arm, and we're going to reap the rewards of it late in the year. Like, it's going to allow him to be the pitcher that he is. You want this guy for 200 innings, man, if you can.
You need him in August and September.
It's going to be tough to get 200 innings with any pitcher with the way Gabe might be switching guys in and out of here. But you know what I'm saying. He's an innings eater, and that's what you want him to be able to do. And listen, it's understandable. The guy didn't get to spring training until what?
Last week?
2 weeks old? Three weeks old?
It was last week.
Yeah, so.
We saw him pretty much the first day.
Bullpen session, yep. Yeah, right? So we gotta, he's 34. He knows his body. Let him. He'll get out there when he's ready.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah, all right.
They're going to be fine. All right, Ike, next six games, all home. Marlins for three and the Reds for, the Reds for three.
Well, we can, that's 3-0 against the Marlins. just go ahead and take three from Derek Jeter's boys.
All right.
And then my Reds come in.
Are your Reds good?
Yeah, no, they're not. But since I am a Reds fan, I'll give them one game in that series.
Do you have them 5-1?
Yeah, so give them two. Yeah, get a Phillies 2-1 out of that.
As do I. 9-3 starting the season,
ooh-wee.
Ike. How about that?
Off to a good start.
If the playoffs started on April 12th, they're in the playoffs, all right?
They're at 9-3.
Ellsworth in Allentown sounds like a baseball fan, doesn't he? Like,
yeah.
Ellsworth!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you, sir?
What's up, Ellsworth?
I'm doing well. I haven't talked to Ike since 2009.
Huh?
When
been
he was
a while.
On with Ray Dittinger.
Where you been, Ellsworth?
But, well, I'm calling in occasionally, but...
We haven't talked baseball since 2009? Is that the problem?
No, that's not it.
Oh, because we're ready to talk baseball this year, man.
Yeah. My first game that I ever went to was on a Sunday doubleheader, Milwaukee Braves at Connie Mack Stadium. I think it was 1963. We lost both games, but...
So Connie Mack went... That was... What was the last year in Connie Mack Stadium? 70?
I think 71. I was at the first game at
the Vet.
At the Vet against Montreal Expos.
What was Connie Mack Stadium like? Was it
I liked it. I mean, I walked in and I got to the top of the steps down towards the field, and I must have been like the biggest wide-eyed kid that you ever saw. I was hooked immediately, and tried to make at least three games a year if possible, and it's my favorite season.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's my favorite sport, but it's definitely right there. I like the fact that they're playing almost every day, and that keeps you entrenched, and I love it. And when I was a freshman in college, there was a senior at a rival fraternity named Andy McPhail.
No way.
Yes. Absolutely. His dad was president of the American League, Lee, at the time, and he was good friends with one of
Was he a wild man, Andy McPhail?
A little bit, I didn't know him that well. He was a little bit older, but there's one thing that I needed to get a signature for that he was involved in that he probably wouldn't remember me, but he would probably remember that event. And
cool, man.
He was a good guy. I talked to him a little bit, here and there.
Ellsworth, it was great to hear from you, man. Don't be a stranger. Don't make it 2029 that you call or 2027. Right? 9 years in between phone calls. Ike.
Right. Good job, Ellsworth.
Yes. Good to hear that you're calling back in. Phillies talk.
Well, you welcome them in. You wanted to bring in the older generation.
Yes. It was
the
producer's
idea. I feel like you get a real old guy, a real elderly man, if it's a name that you don't really hear that much anymore. Like Ellsworth, I don't think there are a lot of kids being named Ellsworth now, and that's what makes it so special.
I said it yesterday with Betty, the name Betty.
Yeah,
Betty.
Or like Ida.
When my grandmother.
I have an Aunt Ida, man. I do.
Yeah, exactly.
I had both of my grandmothers were in different stages of nursing homes at the same time. And when you would kind of walk the hall with my one grandmother, you would see Ruth's and name, like my grandmother's name was Eleanor and Rita.
Yeah.
As the names. You saw a lot of Eleanors, a lot of Ruth's, a lot of Agnes's and things like that.
Yeah.
Not Marvin.
Not now.
Marvin.
Yeah, my grandfather's name was Marvin.
Marvin?
Yeah, you don't get many Marvins today, unless it's a name that's being passed down, right?
A family name.
Yeah.
I like Marvin. Who's the most famous Marvin out there?
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, that's a one seed.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Marvin the Martian.
I was thinking Marvin from Midnight Run, the movie Midnight Run.
Robert De Niro.
You know the movie? Yeah, Robert De Niro, Charles Grodin.
Yeah,
it's a great movie.
I know it, but I think I've seen it.
Marvin was the one bounty hunter that was dueling to get Charles Grodin. John, it was the Beverly Hills Cop guy, John Ashton, I guess his name was.
You got great recall, man.
Just from then. I don't have any recall from the last 15, 20 years prior to all that. Yeah.
Your mind just went blank for a while.
Damn it. I damaged my brain. A lot of damage to my brain. All right, we're at 9-3. So now they go on the road for six games.
Mm-hmm.
At three at Tampa. Another bad team.
Yep.
Three at Atlanta. And I got my scouting report from my friend that works for the Braves.
How many times do we play Atlanta? Can we just mark down? I think 18 times, right?
They played them 160 times. They may be yeah. 150 and 10.
So out of those 18 times, I'm thinking 15 wins.
They play Atlanta 1, 2, 3, 6, 9 times in the first month.
Right.
By the end of April, they pay them 9 times.
So that's 9 wins. Or at least
or
seven.
Six or seven.
Seven wins.
All right, three at Tampa Bay and three at Atlanta.
Let's go 4-2 there.
All right, that's conservative. I'm going to go 6-0. What the hell? So you say 4-2.
Yeah.
So that puts you in. I can't go 6-0. But I don't want to keep imagining what you're saying. You know what? I'm going to go 3-3 just to do it. So I'm 12-6 right now. That's if they go 3-3. And you said 4-2, so you'd be 11. Or no, you'd be 13-5.
Something tells me you guys are going to end up with 120 wins. You're just going to keep going 2-3, 2-3. Oh, maybe a sweep there.
No, because the first month is pretty easy.
Yeah, and then you go.
And then you got Pittsburgh. Arizona would be a tough.
Arizona's a good team.
Yeah, Arizona's a good team.
But then you're at Miami again.
Yeah, like you just said, you play Atlanta 9 times in the first month.
Yeah, that should put you in playoff contention right there.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're at Miami again, and then you're at Washington. Then you go to San Francisco's not good. The Mets at Baltimore, at St. Louis, middle of the season. Then they're at the Dodgers in end of May, at Chicago. So it'll even itself out a little bit.
Who's our, I always look for the
4th of July?
Oh, no, we got Boston this year at home. I look for the interleague matchups.
Oh, you're that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate interleague.
Oh, I love interleague.
I hate
play.
It. I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Ben always calls me old and says, get off my lawn. I'm a dinosaur.
We play the AL East this year.
I hate interleague.
Ooh.
I hate the DH and I hate interleague. You know why?
Why?
Interleague took away the two trips to Wrigley and the two trips to out west and the two trips to Pittsburgh. Not that anybody cares but me. That's why it took it away. Before that, you would take two trips. Now you
such
don't.
An old guy thing hating interleague play.
It is.
Get
I agree.
Off my lawn.
No, why, and why, the why DH.
I, okay, there
get
it is.
Get off my lawn.
I was getting ready to say, why don't I see the Yankees on here? But the Yankees will be in town June 25th.
There's the
27th.
Pitch. In June.
Well,
that's a good spot to have.
Yeah, they'll be in town in June.
Sometimes you waste some of those series early or late. Mm-hmm. Where you stop paying attention or the team's out of it. Nice.
Oh, that'll be
good weather.
Dude, they got, look at this series. They have Yankees, then Washington, then Baltimore.
Oh.
That's a homestand.
I see that.
That's nice.
And then at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Not bad.
There you go.
888-729-9494. 12-6. Ike has them starting.
Dude.
13-5.
Appreciate you.
I have 12-6.
Not drawing attention and covering for your boy, Irvin Santana. Come on, man. It's Carlos Santana.
Yeah, but by the time you were done your thought, I forgot. It's the problem with my brain. As people have to tell you.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, it's a new player. You misspoke. I knew you, man. Everybody else knew what you meant. You didn't call him Bob Nola, right? Yeah, and Bob Nola is going to be fine this year.
I'm sitting there like, did I say Irvin? I did say Irvin.
Yeah, you said it's all right. Yeah. Whatever.
Appreciate that.
You know, I screw up. 888-729-9494. We're back, and it's old.
People on Twitter don't love you as much as your co-hosts do, man. See, the co-hosts, they roll with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, people on Twitter, I got hit with 8 jabs.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knew you meant. It's the old guy baseball hour. We're talking about fans, right? And each team, each individual Philadelphia team has kind of their own style of fan base, right? Like their own personality of the fan base.
Yeah.
Ben was saying this earlier, I think, where when I was a kid, what I think of going down to the vet is the old lady sitting there for every game, keeping score, knitting something during the game, listening to Harry on the radio. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The Phillies have the very, very loyal fan base that if you don't win, they don't draw very well, but you still have those fans that are very loyal.
This is love baseball.
They
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
You have Flyers fans that are fiercely loyal,
yeah.
to a fault, in my opinion. You have 76ers fans that are kind of in between a lot of the different groups, and then you have Eagles fans.
What are the 76ers fans?
It's a good question. It's a good question. We know that
it's a mixture, so it's kind of hard to identify core 76er fans, right?
Because
football, like
everybody
loves
Eagle
basketball,
fan.
Yeah, and everybody loves the Eagles, right?
Not everybody loves basketball.
You're right.
Those 19,000 to go to the Wells Fargo Center for Flyers games don't love basketball. That's for sure.
You're right.
That's what it seems like. But yeah, I mean, the 76er fans, the new age 76er fan, I think of the rights to Ricky Sanchez
yes.
draft party.
Yep.
Everyone, like that type of, that guy that was there.
Yeah.
The bearded 31-year-old, trust the process, yeah. let me drink a beer.
Yep.
That's the newer Sixer fan,
it
right?
It is. That's Spike's cult.
Yep. It is. Yeah. And then you have the old school guys. Like for instance, I don't know how to mention this before. Mo Cheeks he got elected to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall
About
of Fame.
About damn time.
Yeah. And for me, Mo Cheeks is my guy. Mo Cheeks is my favorite Philadelphia athlete ever.
Okay.
Always has been, always will. Just always underrated, always underappreciated. Your ex-partner, Michael B., mm-hmm. actually told him he yeah. was traded.
Yep.
When he worked for Channel 3.
Yep.
Back before the day where, you know, you had landline phones, word got out that he got traded, and Mo didn't know. He was driving home. Michael drives to his house to get reaction from him,
mm-hmm.
and he tells him he was traded. Maurice Cheeks!
It's a great story.
man. But yeah, Mo Cheeks, I'm so happy for him.
Oh,
so congratulations.
He's
but
Mo.
Then you have guys like me that grew up as Maurice and Doc and Andrew Tony and then Moses and then suffering through the end of Charles until AI. And mm-hmm. yeah, after AI was bad too.
Oh yeah.
Some of AI was bad.
Yes.
The
yeah.
end of AI was
the
bad.
The end of AI was real bad.
Huh. Well, we're waiting on an update from Joel Embiid too, by the way.
It's coming.
So it's coming?
It's coming.
When?
Tomorrow. What
Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow before the game on a Friday.
On a
Come
Friday.
On, man. What's wrong with the big fella? All right, let's go back to the phones. Bob in Buckingham. Hi, Bob.
You, Bob.
Hello, Bob. All right, you're out. Let's go to Nick. Nick Caldwell. Hi, Nick. Hello, Nick.
Okay.
All right, we're going to try Michael Mayfair. Michael.
There we go.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Hi, Michael.
What's up, Mike?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We got you, man. What's up? How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I'm in my 60s.
Okay.
I've been to Connie Mack Stadium, the Vet, as well as Citizens Bank. But you said you wanted old heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of us old heads, I remember Wilt Chamberlain playing at the Civic Center. And I remember Dick Allen's
with the Warriors
year. And Dallas Green was a pitcher for the 64 Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a general manager. But the best thing about Connie Mack was when you left, you went down to the field level and you walked out the right field line or the left field line out of the stadium. And on the way out, I would stop at the dugout and ask for autographs. And any Phillies that were sitting in there in those days, you weren't bothering them. They would just sign your scorecard.
Mm-hmm. I can't, and Michael, thank you. I can't imagine baseball players were very friendly back then, right? Like, of all the athletes, like, and you're a football player, of mm-hmm. all the athletes that we cover,
yeah,
baseball players typically, and I can't say that about this particular Phillies team because they all seem like a good group
good,
of guys.
Good young group, good yeah. fun, loving group.
They tend to be the grumpiest.
Yeah, baseball players.
Yeah, hockey players are normally great guys. Mm-hmm. Not very exciting in interviews, but normally really, really good guys. Football players, it's a business and they know it. They do a good job when you interview them or whatever. They totally understand it. Basketball players are usually pretty cool. I've always had good interactions with that. Now, the media, that covers each group, the baseball player writers are notoriously, like, as far as me going down there and doing pre and post last year and being at the park a lot,
yeah,
I mean, it pains some of the people that cover the team on an everyday basis to even say hi to me. Some of the people wouldn't even look, like Matt Gelb.
Yeah.
Matt Gelb, for $1 million, wouldn't look at me or acknowledge me.
Why?
Now The Athletic. Oh, he just hates sports radio people.
Well,
he does.
Huh?
Well, this is I'm not breaking news here. Yeah, no, Matt Gelb is that, like, we would walk past each other in the corridor and he would just literally, like, he would never look up at me and say hi.
Really?
Never.
Huh.
And I'm a relatively friendly guy.
Sure.
I'll talk to everybody.
Yeah, nice guy.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly.
So is it that they feel like what?
That we're scum. Well, that's how
talk about the sport?
Well, that's how I think a lot of people feel that way about sports radio, I think. Maybe not a lot of writers do, I believe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, we're bringing up rumor and innuendo and kind of, you know, talking about whatever, and they're trying to do their job. Like, Todd Zielecki is, he says hi to me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem all that pleased that he has to say hi to me. They have their little band of, they have, like, it's like you're in the cafeteria in high school. They have their little table that they sit on, and they don't want anything to do with
the beat writers. Those are the guys that cover the team every day.
Not everybody.
Right.
Not all of them. But there's a little group where they want nothing to do to talk with, at least with me.
Right. Well, maybe it's you.
It is probably me.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm cool with everybody.
Well, I don't think you're cool with these guys. Well, no, they would probably act to be cool with you.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
You're the ex-athlete or whatever.
So they don't really see me as a full media guy.
No.
Right?
No, you're not full. No, they would kiss your ass because you're a former athlete or whatever. Me, it's just like the creepy sports radio guy. Oh, no, it was downright uncomfortable sometimes last year down there.
Well, some of them become radio guys.
But who?
Well, Angelo.
Yeah, not all writers.
Ow. Those guys be... No, I'm just saying. The papers are dying to a degree.
Well, they would love to.
Yeah.
They would love to get in the radio.
Right?
But, you know. No, but that whole generation of sports talker in this city from Angelo, Al, Mike, mm-hmm. Glenn, all that, they were all newspaper writers that got involved. And by the way, it was a pretty good move to get into the business.
Yeah.
These guys are there. I mean, I'm sure they would like to.
Well, you didn't write.
No, I can't write. I'm not smart enough. You see me write.
I'm just... I'm just trying to figure out why they hating on you, man.
Why does Michael Barkan block me on Twitter?
Just
I don't know.
Stop bringing up Michael Barkan.
I didn't comment on the post game show last night.
John, did you ever stop to think that maybe the common thread here is you?
No, it's not me.
Maybe not everybody is out to get you.
No, I don't think anybody's out to get me. But when it's even some guys that I thought I had a good relationship with by the middle end of the season, because he's in that clique already, he's in that baseball Philly writer clique, then it's just like he wouldn't even look at me or talk to me.
Well, they think what they do is more important than what we do. That's probably part of it.
Well, yeah, you tell me what it is. Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what it
is. That is the least competitive beat of any of the beats in the city. Now, it's the Athletics made it more competitive. There's three people writing for the Phillies, and that's good. It's the least competitive beat of anybody.
I'll tell you what it is.
Totally. Compared to the Eagles, you got to be kidding me.
It's the people who do journalism think that journalism is the most important thing on the planet.
We're lowbrow and they're highbrow.
Right. And here's the thing, and I don't say this out of disrespect to them, because what we all do is entertainment.
Right.
It's all entertainment. If you're in sports, you cannot argue that your job is some, like, essential part of society. If you're a journalist and you're covering, like, the presidency, you're covering, like, you know, abuse or whatever, that's one thing. If you're a baseball journalist, you're doing entertainment. You're the same thing as us. But they view themselves as journalists that do a work that's more important to society than us. And so they look at us and they're like, oh, you guys just go and goof around. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not serious.
Yes, we don't know what we're
talking
about.
That's where it comes from. So I understand why they do that to you. And I think there are a lot of great people. There are a lot of nice people. And Derek Bodner is not like that. A lot of people are not like that. But some of these guys have been doing it for a long time.
It's not everybody.
They've gotten the superiority complex where they think that we are like scum, that we just like to have fun and we don't know anything about sports because we're not around the team.
Yeah, we're not around the team. Like, Ryan Lawrence is nice to me. It's not everybody. You know, some of the guys will talk to me and realize that I actually watch baseball and I'm a fan of baseball. But the other ones are just kind of like a dirty sports radio guy. All right, Ike. We have four games at home against Pittsburgh.
Okay.
You're at 13-5 right now. I'm 12-6. Four against Pittsburgh at home.
Oh, we got to go 3-1 there.
1, 2, 3. Three against Arizona.
Three against Arizona. I'll go 1 and 2 there.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.